This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this Panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy to have you with us here on a Thursday afternoon. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has been away this week, and that will continue into tomorrow. We've had, for a downtime, man, this Four Nations face-off has really, really filled in the gaps for us. Much more than that, even. It's been a highlight of the sports year so far. I know it's early, but man. This thing has really captured, I think, the general sports audience. Of course, the hockey fans are loving it as well. Spent a lot of today so far talking about it, and we'll continue with that as we bring in our buddy Joe Yurden, covers the NHL for Bleacher Report, as a well-traveled, experienced reporter, is how we refer. I don't know. Is that okay, Joe? Is that how we're referring to you these days? Grizzled veteran?
Grizzled veteran is good because why not, man? It's been like 15, I can't believe it's been like 15 years doing this professionally. It's crazy.
That is insane. Yeah, I mean, it's closing in on 30 for me. So I don't even want to. Let's change the subject right now. I know you were in Montreal, got to see firsthand what was happening there. Can I ask you if you can honestly tell us, like, what your expectations were going in, and then maybe if they were a little bit low? Like, I was optimistic this would be good, but I wasn't expecting it to go right to 11 last Wednesday night when Canada and Sweden faced off. But by the time they dropped the puck in that game, I was, just gripped, thinking this is going to be fantastic. Montreal can have that effect on you, the ceremony and Mario and the anthems and all that. What did you think going in, and what do you think now?
I was optimistic as well because when these guys play, you play for country, it's a different story. Because I know a lot of fans were, maybe not too hyped, thinking like, oh, it's the place in the All-Star game. These guys are going to treat it like an All-Star game. They won't go hard. They won't do that. This, that, the other thing. And I'm like, you put on the jersey for your country, and the mindset changes. Because you're thinking, if I come out here and I'm like, going at half speed and I'm letting up on something, I got a chance to hit somebody and I let up and I'm just kind of, not going for it. Like that, doesn't get anybody into it. Doesn't get anybody fired up. But, you start that tournament in Montreal and like the fans are going to be at 11 to start with, and you get, you get Canada, Sweden to be your opening game and you have that kind of opening ceremony and you're like, okay, there is no shot. These guys are gonna pull up the brakes and say like, all right, let's just go out and have fun. there was no way that was going to happen. And, yeah, did not disappoint one bit. That was, even for the games that Canada didn't play in, like, the crowds were great. I mean, I thought, yeah, I was kind of nervous about the Canada or the Sweden-Finland game, but no, like 18, 19,000 fans there, still, you know, still very much into it. And what a great game that was. I mean, geez, we got one stinker game, and it was just because the U.S. put it on Finland. And even that game wasn't a blowout to the third period. So, I mean, I don't know, you can't really ask for more than what we've gotten here. And, you know, honestly, starting in Montreal was probably the smartest move you could do, because it sets the tone. It sets the tone for everything.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the ceremony and all of it, like, nobody does that better than Montreal. And no. So, you know, rolling Mario out there like they did really, really worked for me as well. All right, that said, Saturday, did you see 3 fights in 9 seconds? Did you see any fights coming, especially right off the opening draw, like we saw basically twice with the Tkachuk brothers?
You know, I kind of thought there would be a fight. I didn't expect it opening face-off. And, you know, it helps that this isn't double IHF rules for this tournament.
Right.
Because if it was, I mean, that's immediate ejection if you fight. Like, that's ejection and one-game suspension. So, like, it's what keeps guys from fighting in the Olympics, because you don't want to do that. But NHL rules, man, go for it. Go for it. Have fun. And I think what I know some people, I mean, geez, a lot of people just don't like fights. I get it. Like, there's the whole, like, newest generation of fans. Like, fights have been minimized for good reasons. Let's be real. But, you know, for those of us that kind of grew up with a lot of that stuff, I mean, geez, the heyday of enforcers and goons and all that was, like, how I grew up. And, you know, I've got a big soft spot for a lot of those guys. I mean, those guys put a lot on the line, they you know, with their health and everything. But, like, oh, man. Like, you get the first fight, and you're like, okay, get it out of your system. All right, okay, cool. And then, you know, you see Brady and Sam Bennett go out for the next draw, and you're like, man, I bet they're kicking themselves. They didn't get a shot. Oh, they're fighting. Okay, great.
Right.
And then JT Miller goes up and just, you know, two-hander right into Parayko, which maybe not a penalty, but, you know. But then you, like, my favorite catch of that video was the shot. You're looking right at Parayko, and he's got his gloves on. He's like, oh, you want to go? Boom, gloves on the ice, here we go. And it's like, oh, boy, this is crazy. I've never, ever, ever, ever once, and I've covered a couple of Stanley Cup finals, I've never been in a crowd where it was that off the charts. Everybody into it, both teams, all the fans, everybody is like, holy crap, what are we witnessing? This is incredible.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm definitely, I mean, I'm older than you. I grew up with that. I remember, you know, I've talked to Rob Ray for years and years and years here, hosting shows with him over his playing career and now as a broadcaster. So, yeah, hearty respect for that part of the game. But, yeah, there's good reasons why I've sort of lost my taste for it. But Saturday, I didn't know it was an itch I needed scratched, but it totally worked. You know, it just totally worked for me. Joe Yurden, Bleacher Report, covering the NHL and this Four Nations face-off tournament as well, is our guest here on the West Hur Hotline. You make a very good point, Joe, I think, mentioning the Olympics on the horizon, because that, maybe I didn't consider that, like, this as sort of a tryout for the Olympics. Like, if you can perform in this tournament for USA, Canada, Sweden, or Finland, I combined Sweden and Finland into one country. I'm a regular president of the United States here, trying to annex Sweden and Finland together. You're going to try to make the best, you know, make the best impression you can, because you want to be in the Olympics. You want to be playing for Olympic gold. And so this is a, like, sort of a tryout opportunity. So I didn't really consider that going into this.
Yeah. And, you know, I had a chance to talk to Matthew Tkachuk ahead of the Four Nations. And, you know, one of the things I asked him about was, you know, because, of course, we talked about the Four Nations. But I asked, like, you look at this, not that he has, I said, not that you have anything to worry about, but you look at this as kind of like a tryout for the Olympics. And he's like, you know, I didn't really think of it that way, but he's like, yeah, like, you gotta kind of show what you're about. And he's like, you know, you have world championships, and you've got things like that to kind of, you know, get your name out there and prove to them that, like, yeah, hey, I'll play for the country. Because, you know, basically, if you're playing in Worlds, it means your team didn't make it to the Stanley Cup playoffs. and you're probably like, boy, nice long summer would be cool too. But, you know, if you take that time out to go play for your country, it's like, okay, this guy means business. All right, this is good. But I mean, the Olympics are next year. I mean, it's next year in Milan. There's not going to be a lot of other opportunities to really show that, hey, I want in on this. I want to be part of this. And it's a good opportunity for these guys to show that they are deadly serious about it. And let's be honest, the roster's probably not going to be a whole lot different for the Olympics. I mean, there's going to be a few spots, and I know we're going to have plenty of debates to come once this is over. Whoever wins, loses, doesn't matter. Plenty of debates about, you know, who is a better fit, who should have been there. I mean, we kind of did these already in the first place, but like, mm-hmm. once the results finish, you know, flesh themselves out, you're like, okay, now we know how this went, what went wrong, what went right. But it's absolutely the time for these guys to show that, you know, hey, like, when you come call, if you want to come call it next year, I'm ready to go, and you see how I can do. And that's the huge thing for guys that might be on the, debatably on that borderline. So tough to say any of these guys would be on a borderline because they're all incredibly good players. But but if you're like one of those guys in like that fourth line, you know, in and out of the lineup kind of role, you want to show out. You want to show that you mean business.
Yeah, for sure. Joe Yerden, Bleacher Report on the Wester Hotline here on WGR. Four Nations face-off finale tonight, Canada and the USA from Boston. ESPN will have the game on TV for you. So is this, I feel like, you know, Canada, like, is this the best hockey we've ever seen? You know, it's a tough conversation to have because you got to go back so far into history, in particular on the Canadian side. I feel like the biggest difference between, say, 1996 or even 2010 in the gold medal game and any Olympics, the U.S. has star players, high-end players like Matthews and Hughes that, to me, are close to the best Canadian guys. Back when, like, Gretzky and Lemieux and Howardchuk were on a line playing in Canada Cups, you know, the U.S. or any other country really did not have anything that could be comparable. And I think that gap doesn't really exist anymore. I would still give Canada the nod at the very high end here with MacKinnon and McDavid and Makar over, say, you know, Matthews and Jack Hughes and his brother Quinn Hughes, who unfortunately isn't even here. But there's more high-end talent. Even go back to 96, that World Cup of Hockey that the U.S. won in a three-game series. The gap is just almost non-existent now, I think.
Yeah, it's almost a full flip of a coin between the two teams. And this is to make clear, the absolute highest of the high-end is still on Canada's side because, you know, to me, Makar is still mm-hmm. the best defenseman in the NHL. Quinn Hughes is right there. You know, like, it's like Quinn Hughes is like, you can make a case for him over Makar. I mean, they both won the Norris. They're both incredible. And, you know, for McDavid, I mean, McDavid's the best player in the NHL by far. And the next best guy might be his teammate, and he's from Germany. So, but, like, you throw Matthews into that mix. You got Hughes. Everybody in Buffalo, plug your ears for one second. You got Jack Eichel, who's right. having an unbelievable season. So, like, you've got all these guys up at the top of the level where it's staggering. And I mean, you go back to, I think back to that 96 team and you think of how good Leach was and how, you know, how out of his mind Richter played in that tournament goal. The U.S. has three goalies that are better than Mike Richter, like mm-hmm. right now on the roster. Like, that's crazy. That is stone cold crazy that you've got that kind of setup. And I mean, granted, you can only play one goalie at a time. I get it. But like, still, like, it hammers home how much things have changed in that amount of time. And we're talking like 30 years now, which, oh man, like, forget it. But like, it's incredible to see how the gap is like basically non-existent now. And we saw it on Saturday. The U.S. played the way Canada did against the U.S. in 2010. Mm-hmm. You know, the way Canada played in the Olympics in 2014. Like, they were perfect. Like, just an absolutely perfect game where, what do? You can't do anything about it. You just have to tip your cap and say, like, hey, you know, listen, they gave it to us, and we got to deal with it.
You know, in goal, I think I don't know about Swayman for sure, but I would easily take Hellebuck or Ottinger over any of the three Canadian goalies.
Oh, 100%.
And maybe Swayman too, honestly. But he's having kind of a weird, wonky year with the tough start after the contract thing. But yeah. It's pretty stunning how, and I know a lot of column inches have been written about the lack of goaltending development in Canada, and I haven't really dug in that far on it, but I mean, the results kind of speak for themselves here with the caliber of player you're talking about on both of these rosters. It's kind of startling that Canada's gone from like Brodeur and Luongo and others to like, okay, Jordan Binnington, go get her done.
Yeah, and the fact that Binnington's gotten the call all along, and especially now tonight, it's because they're like, well, you know, he beat the Bruins in 2019, so he knows how to get it done in Boston. And I'm like, boy, that's, you know, there's stretches, but like,
I guess.
I mean, if you just need something to run with, I guess that's the way to do it. But I mean, it's, and what's wild is that, like, if Thatcher Demko wasn't banged up this whole like past year, and he's the guy that gets the call over Swayman, and maybe he's, you know, battling Hellebuck for secrets because he was brilliant up until he got hurt last year. So it's, I mean, I don't think he gets a call over Hellebuck, but I mean, you know, maybe he's minding, you know, he's wearing the hat on the bench, but it's incredible. I just, and you know, and I got a chance to like write on this. I don't know if it ever got published, but the influence Richter had from 96 and throughout his whole career on goaltending in the U.S. is, I mean, that's all because of that, because Richter made it flashy and cool play goal. And it's just, you know, that got guys to be like, hey man, like, this is fun. You get to wear the cool gear. You get to represent your country. Then, you know, who knows? Maybe you get to become a folk hero.
Right. Yeah. Ryan Miller served that purpose in the Parker House. I can tell you that 100% certainty. I don't know that we take the ride that we took as a family without Miller being, you know, who he was for the Sabres and also, of course, for Team USA. Joe, how are you nervous at all that there's so much attention and so much hype for this game tonight and what Saturday looked like with the fights at the outset and all that, that tonight has trouble meeting the expectations?
I think if you're – yes. I think if you're setting the bar at like, well, if they had three fights last time, mine's all tonight, right? Like,
right.
Guys jumping the bench to get on the ice, right? That's how this works, isn't it? But I mean, you know, listen, you're talking about, you know, Makar is going to be in for, I believe Makar is going to be in for Canada. I mean, he's
got
to be in there. I obviously the U.S. is banged up. No, McAvoy is tough. You know, I don't know if Jake Sanderson's going to, you know, get sucked through a warp zone or something and not wind up there so Quinn Hughes plays. But I mean, like, that sets the bar for everything to be like, okay, like, that was an incredible game, but, like, this tonight's going to be just a game, you know, unless Canada wants to get some get back on U.S. soil, which, who knows, maybe. I don't know if they want to do that.
Yeah, if they had Tom Wilson available as an injury replacement, then I think maybe we'd be on to something. That was fun, by the way, watching, like, listening to the reaction over the weekend and into early in the week, like, Canada, we should have Tom Wilson on their team. He's got 20 goals. No, it was awesome. I don't root against Canada actively, but when they do lose in a big spot, it's always amazing. Like, the reaction is just, you just can't miss it. You got to be there for it.
Yeah, and, like, just the way the game on Saturday in Montreal played out, it was just taken right out of the stereotypical Canada playbook. Fights, hit everything in sight, play hard, and intimidate. Like, not giving a crap about who you're hitting. I mean, geez, you know, McDavid scores that unbelievable goal that literally no goalie on earth is going to stop. And McAvoy, the next shift, goes out and plasters him. Matthews kind of helps hide that he's coming. But, like, he goes out and flattens him. And I think, you know, guys in Canada do not scare easy. But that's a kind of like, oh, these guys aren't going to stop all game. Okay, well, I guess we're going to have to deal with this. Because these guys are, you know, and I said this very lovingly watching the Tkachuks high-five each other after the fight. They go, these absolute idiots. Look at these guys.
Like, right.
Yeah. You know, like they're just like high fiving, and they got the, you know, they had the mics on them in the box, and they're just, you know, just going like, "You believe that? Holy crap, that was cool!" Like all that kind of stuff. I'm like, "You absolute bonehead!" Like, God love you.
In the best possible way, yeah. Like what just a couple of goofballs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You mentioned McAvoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There, Joe. And maybe the one fly in the ointment, we'll see. Like, hockey usually finds its way to undoing the good that it does. And we'll see what ends up on the horizon here and around the next bend with the Olympics and then the World Cup a couple of years after that. But the McAvoy injury, the way it was handled even, there seems to be some question. It looks like the Bruins are maybe mad at USA Hockey for the shot, and that caused the infection and whatever. There is word that McAvoy will be at the game tonight, so he's doing well enough to actually be out in public, but obviously he's not going to play. I just wonder, you know, it's easy for me in Buffalo to not worry about anybody getting hurt in this tournament, because even if, you know, something happened to Dahlin, it's not like I have a playoff race for him to come home to. But I wonder with a guy like McAvoy and Shea Theodore, with what happened to him in the first game against Sweden for Canada, now he's out until the playoffs for Vegas. I know Crimea River, they'll find a way to use long-term injury replacement money and probably work out great. But still, guys getting hurt in something like this, I could see being a problem for general managers, if not, you know, owners.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of ironic that Theodore is the guy that got hurt for Canada, because they sat Alex Pietrangelo out. Like, Vegas made that call because they're like, you know, he's coming back from a thing. We're going to keep him out. We're going to keep him out of this because, you know, he's dealing with stuff. And people are like, interesting. Because, like, you know, Pietrangelo's not making that call for himself, so the team doesn't. But, you know, and there's, you know, Pietrangelo and maybe Doug Armstrong still not getting along from their St. Louis days or whatever. But, like, but then it's, you know, Vegas' other defenseman on Team Canada who goes out, and it's like,
yeah,
well, you know, all right. But, I mean, you know, listen, teams can get upset about it, but, like, everybody signed on for this. You know, players wanted this. Teams agreed to it. This is just the risk you're going to run with these kinds of tournaments. Like, you know, and now that we know these guys are going to go all out, stuff can happen. Like, any kind of stuff can happen. The McAvoy thing is just really strange because it's, you know, shoulder injury, and you're like, wow, that stinks. And it's like, yeah, and then he got an infection, and you're like, wait, what?
How right.
Like, what?
Right.
What do you mean he got an infection? Like, what's that about? But yeah, I mean, like, this is what can happen. This is the risk that these teams run, and you got to kind of live with it. I mean, it makes it tough because, you know, tournaments in February, playoffs start in mid-April, so you're just hoping for not a really long-term injury if guy does get hurt. But, you know, in Vegas' case, like, you know, they know how to work the system. They'll find another guy to get to plug in there.
All right, Joe. Excellent job, as always. Really glad to catch up with you. Let everyone know where you're at on Blue Sky, please.
Yeah. Joe Yurden.bsky.social. Please, God, fix those handles on that website. For the love of everything, that's so bad. But, yeah, find me there. Find me on Bleacher Report. Find me at notedhockey.com. Plenty of places around all over the place to catch where I'm right.
Let's hear it for the first ever Blue Sky shout out on the show, by the way. That was we had to get you on to make that happen, Joe. Thank you. Thank you very much for this, man.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
All right, be cool. That's Joe Yurden, Bleacher Report. You just heard the rundown, notedhockey.com. Excellent reporter and guy to follow on the Blue Sky app if you're over there. I'm over there. I'm just not as active as I'd like to be. It's, you know, old habits and all that kind of thing. Anyway, more on this game, more on this tournament, more. Just inject it into my veins. 803-0550 is the number. You got a thought on anything that Joe and I talked about, that I've talked about earlier as this day has unfolded. I'd love to hear from you. Between now and the top of the hour, we'll have Paul Hamilton on at 6 to get his thoughts on the tournament at large and, of course, tonight's championship game, the Four Nations face-off between Canada and the USA. Again, the number is 803-0550. Lines are wide open, so if you want to get in, now would be a great time. Mike Shope is off this week, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
The game has also never been bigger than where it is today. And that's exactly the opportunity that these guys have, is to play for something that's bigger than themselves. Some of these guys have never even played in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But people are saying that this game is bigger than the Stanley Cup game last year and any Stanley Cup game that we're going to see this year. So it puts it into perspective of the opportunity that these guys have, and they're ready for the moment. The whole world will be watching tonight. They're going to leave it all on the ice. It's going to be a tremendous show, and I'm going to tell you this. Buckle up, strap in, pack a lunch, dinner, breakfast for tomorrow morning, whatever you need to do to get ready for 8 o'clock tonight, because it's all going to boil over.
That is former NHL defenseman and current ESPN NHL commentator PK Subban. He's part of the studio show for this tournament and really their regular season stuff on a pretty regular basis. It's been him and Messier and Steve Levy handling the studio stuff. Very relieved to see Sean McDonough on the play-by-play tonight with the great, and I emphasize the great, Ray Ferraro. He's like the best color man, maybe in any sport. I just think he's really, really, really good. McDonough's never been my favorite, but man, I like him a lot more than Bob Wasujian, who does a lot of the ESPN and ABC games as well. He's just always at like a pitch that's just like a little too high for me, myself. But anyway, McDonough and Ferraro, I mentioned Levy, Messier, PK Subban. Those are your dudes on ESPN tonight for the Four Nations face-off finale between Canada and the U.S. And we have been spending really all day today talking about it and enjoying the conversation a lot of hockey. And it's felt really good, for me anyway. I mean, I think you know by now, if you listen on any kind of regular basis, I love the game. It might be, I love the game. I've always preferred hockey even to football. Love the Bills. Love the NFL. The action. I mean, it's the biggest of big times. Hockey. I had a call in the first hour of the show, and a guy I've heard from for many, many years, Jerry, mentioned how the NHL. Is often it's like a restaurant that's really, really good, but not everybody knows about it. And I totally feel that. Hockey for me has always sort of been, its place in the American sports landscape, at least in the United States, not North America, obviously Canada, it rules. But here it stands where it stands for a reason. It's something of a niche sport. And that has always kind of appealed to me. Like I don't need to always be, underground necessarily. Right. But this game tonight feels to me like one of my favorite bands currently for the last 20 years or more is Wilco. And they're, they play 5,000 seat venues, right? They play your standard Darien Lake type sheds. They don't play at Darien Lake. They played there one time that I know of as an opening act for Bob Dylan, actually. It was quite a few years ago now. But anyway, tonight feels like if Wilco suddenly was playing at a stadium. like a stadium like this that the Stones sell out, right? 75,000 people. And like Wilco is suddenly that popular. It would kind of freak me out a little bit, I'll tell you, to be honest with you. But it would be really cool if everybody loved them that much, even for just that moment. That's what this game kind of feels like to me. It's like so many people have been paying attention to this, and I think it's captured the sports fans, just the general sports fan, not the hockey fan, the sports fan, in a way that very few hockey tournaments, games, playoff series have. I think it came at a very good time. Canada and the U.S. on Saturday night was perfect. You do have the friction, if you want it, between Canada and the USA politically right now. That certainly can add to it if you're so inclined. But the tournament itself, the performances, the caliber of players, it just came at the perfect time. The NBA was having whatever that All-Star weekend was. It's just, what are we even doing here? I saw a rundown, in fact, at one point of some of the events there, and like the actual amount of basketball that was played. I think in the actual All-Star game, right? They changed the format this year. There were shorter games and more teams. It was kind of a round robin thing, and the amount of actual basketball that was played was ridiculous. other entertainment elements and whatever. And hockey, meanwhile, had this battle for the ages going on over the weekend. Just amazing. The timing just could not have been better. And I really do hope. But right at the end there, while we're talking to Joe Yurt in the last segment, I asked him, like, can this game possibly live up to it? You know? And I would tell you, if you're going to this game, and Joe said similar, if you're going into this game, you're like, well, there were three fights in 9 seconds last time, man. I can't wait to see what happens tonight. I think you might be signing up for a letdown. I don't have to be right about that. I wouldn't want to bet a lot of money on it not happening again, but my gut tells me it won't. I think there was a very special set of circumstances. First best-on-best meeting in a very long time for many of those players, and so the opportunity was there, and the U.S. has been kind of, you know, in the backseat big time to Canada over the years. There are, you know, we have our moments, 96, 1980, not that Canada had anything to do with 1980, but 96, a best on best. The USA did win, but you've got Olympics over Olympics and a gold medal loss in 2010. You had a gold medal loss in 2002 in Salt Lake City. So the opportunity was there. You got the right kind of players that deserve being on the team, not just because they are willing to fight and be physical, and the Tkachuk brothers, but the message that they wanted to send got sent. I'd be stunned, honestly. I'll be stunned if any of the participants from Saturday are looking, at least at the start of the game. Like, once the game gets going and somebody cross-checks you or slashes you across the wrist or whatever, you know, maybe anything can happen. But as far as messages being sent and lines being drawn in the sand and all that kind of stuff, I just, if you're looking for that tonight because of what happened Saturday, I think you might be signing up to be disappointed. I just can't imagine Canada wanting to get into that's not the kind of team that they have built in the first place. Credit to the guys that stood up on Saturday, Hagel and Parayko and Sam Bennett, but I don't think it fits in this game. I think the opportunity was there to do that on Saturday. The U.S. did what they wanted to do there. I just would be surprised if there was anything like that, at least, again, to start this game. Maybe as it goes on, you know, who knows what happens. But I'm just hoping for an excellent game. Like, I love Saturday even without the fights. I mean, the fights certainly didn't bother me, but the caliber of player on the ice was so amazing on Saturday. And all I really need is more of that. I'd like more goals. I am, 5-4 is my dream scenario. U.S. wins, great. Canada wins, okay. Just give me 5-4. Give me swings and momentum. I talked about this a little bit on Monday. I felt like the idea, in my opinion, of that being the best hockey game you ever saw, or the best hockey game I ever saw, I couldn't get there, because it just, there wasn't enough emotional swings in the game. And I need goals to sort of swing that. And without it, it was excellent. It was great. It just doesn't rise to the level of best game I've ever seen, best hockey game I've ever seen. If it were more back and forth, somebody just took a 2-goal lead. Oh, here comes Canada back with a goal to make it a 1-goal game again. Like, give me some of that. And I think you can improve on what we had Saturday night, irrespective of the fighting. I just think more goals would be great. I don't know how optimistic I want to be about it, because these teams know how to defend, and the USA's got an excellent goalie, and Binnington was certainly gotten the job done well enough here for Canada. I mean, he gave up some pretty cheesy goals, but they've made the final, so we'll see if he can button it up tonight, but I'd be hoping for goals. I think that's the only thing that Saturday night, in my opinion, was really missing. 803-0550 is the phone number. You got a thought on tonight's Four Nations face-off finale? Would love to hear from you. Paul Hamilton coming your way joins me at the top of the hour for his thoughts on this game. And, you know, sorry to bum you out, but the Sabres are back practicing, so we'll talk to Paul about how that's been going. Although I believe they had the day off today. They practiced Tuesday and Wednesday, so we'll get the lowdown on that from Paul as well at the top of the hour. But time for you if you want to get in here after this on WGR. Threw up in my mouth. I'm not kidding. I've not heard this. I don't know. I don't have my TV up. I've not heard it in the arenas. I know this is the goal song Team USA is using. I didn't know there was a 1987 Suzuki Samurai with a huge boombox in the back seat, thumping through Freebird. I missed that. I knew they were using. I saw some dude sent me. Have you seen the video of the dude? I don't even know if that was a local dude or not. I just got tagged on Twitter. The dude lighting a cigarette and getting a bottle of Bud Light that had a little bit of beer left in it and like chugging it while playing the solo.
Yep.
I saw that, but I didn't know that there was this I didn't know that was happening to
Freebird. Incredible remix,
That awful, horrific bastardization of, you know, a song that's been played to death. But still, it's still an awesome jam. I mean, I didn't know that it got all thumpy. I missed that. I was not aware. Anyway, well, I mean, go USA then, I suppose. Why?
It is one of those, like, you're right, it's overplayed, but it's perfect. Yeah.
It could be a song. I know for me anyway, there was a point in time where I thought, I don't ever need to hear this song ever again in my life. Mm-hmm. I loved it when I was a teenager, when it was relatively contemporary at the time. Like, maybe even I go back that far, you know, to early Lynyrd Skynyrd, like, you know, pre-plane crash Lynyrd Skynyrd. I was alive for that. So, like, love that song. And then, you know, play Freebird, dude. Like, just, all right. You know, classic rock radio kind of pounded it through my entire brainstem and like out the other side enough. Now I think I'm back. Although that
may have ruined it.
I mean, I hope they score six goals and I never hear that. tonight.
I'm worried now that I may have ruined it for you. Like, the first goal goes in, you hear it, and you're like, no, I can't do this.
I probably won't notice. The crowd will be screaming
That's right.
too loud.
That's right.
I probably won't be able to notice, and P.K. Subban will be crying, and it'll be awesome.
He picked the United States to win today, 4-2. So
whatever. Let's take. I need some air. Let's take a time out here. Zach will have an update at the top of the hour, and then Paul Hamilton will roll in with his thoughts on this game tonight, the tournament thus far, and the Sabres back at practice, minus the guys that participated in the tournament over the past couple of days. I think they had today off, but they have a home game on Saturday. Weird time, right? 5:30 start, I think, on Saturday for Sabres and Rangers. Anyway, Paul Hamilton coming straight ahead. That's the point. I am the Bulldog. Mike's away this week. This is WGR.